everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Near Death Experience. And tonight we're on the beautiful Wurundjeri country. And thank you for all the elders, past, present, and emerging, for having us on their beautiful country. Now, tonight, our guest, he's a triple threat. He can sing, he can dance, he can act, and he is one of the most resilient professional wrestlers in Australia. He is the artist formerly known as Lockie.
Jello, jello. I'm absolutely thrilled to finally get onto one of these. This is going to be fun as.
Yeah, it's going to be. We're excited to have you. Thank you for coming down and hanging out with the cult. We also have Mayhem the Rat. Say good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. She doesn't bite. She's very friendly. All right. Mr. Lockie, I have a question for you. Have you ever had a reading?
No. And I've always wanted to do one of these sorts of things, because I've always believed that there's always like some sort of like higher power involved in some things. Like, I generally believe that with almost everything I've ever done, like on stage, in the ring, out of the ring, in pretty much like any endeavor I've ever had that resulted in a massive achievement, there was always like something. There was always like something in the air, like, you know, something in the universe kind of thing that sort of like sets that in motion, like kind of like the old saying, you couldn't script this any better. There's always like something like magical involved.
Yeah.
And I've always been like super intrigued about like card readings and stuff like that, and the supernatural kind of thing. So I'm tremendously excited about this.
I'm actually really happy that you said that, because I'm really excited. I was excited before, but now I'm really excited, because you have a really good energy. Just naturally as a person, you have a very welcoming and a very warm energy. And it's always a blessing to see you pop up at a show. But with these cards, I'm going to learn more about you, and you're going to learn more about you. So I'm pretty pumped. So let's wake him up, and I'll just give him a quick shuffle. And whenever you are ready, you tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Ooh, I got the jitters. All right, your first card. Oh! This comes up a lot with wrestlers, this card. And you got the card of Strong Foundations, right? It's number 23. It's a mountain card. And I tell this to everyone, but it's like, you are a mountain. Like, you're the mountain in this card. You are strong. You have a good grounding. Like, you're a good grounded person. And you seem like you're a very level-headed person. I've never seen you upset. I've never seen you angry. Like, I've never seen you in a bad mood. But also, you as a person, you've had to become a strong person. And I feel like you have done that. Like, some of the stuff that just... because I've known you for a few years now, and just seeing your journey over the past few years, and just seeing how you've evolved and how you've blossomed into such a strong, independent person is cool as fuck. It's really cool as fuck. And like, I really like the colors in this card, because not only do you have, excuse me, you have like your green colors, which is obviously the mountain, but above the mountain you have colors of like pink and purple, and like there's like a hot pink and a light pink and a purple, and then underneath the mountain you have these really passionate colors like red and orange and yellow. And yellow is a good color because it's clarity, and orange and red are very passionate and fiery colors. So I feel like in your belly, in the guts of you, you're a very fiery and passionate person. When you are passionate about something, when you're driven about something, you're very passionate. But at the top, where the things that you show people, so you, from your head, like the colors in your head, they're such calming and loving colors. Like red, and I mean not red, pink is the color of love, and purple is the color of intuition. And I feel like you are starting to listen to more of your intuition. And you're just naturally a very loving person. You just ooze love. So I feel like this is a great start for your first reading. And I feel a little bit nervous to give you your first reading. I always get nervous giving people their first reading because it's a weird thing. It's a very intimate thing, and it's a very, like, vulnerable thing. Like, it's a bit scary. But I'm really happy with this card.
Yeah, with trying some new things for the first time, like, for example, a reading, I definitely like to, like, go to the people I would trust with this sort of thing, or people I know. So like, you would have been, like, the very top of the list to actually have a go at this sort of thing. Funny how you mentioned purple. That's actually my favorite color.
Is it?
Yeah, 100% it is. But I'm absolutely rapt that the strong foundation card was, like, the first thing that kind of came to mind, because I've always believed that with me getting to, like, the level of performer or wrestler or musician that I am, I've always had a strong foundation to sort of, like, build me up from the ground sort of thing. Like, I come from a massive music family. Like, I'm That's ninth awesome. Generation in my family.
Oh, wow.
Which is, mental in any scenario, right? Like, when is there ever nine generations of anything, especially in, like, an art form sort of thing?
That's pretty special.
Yeah, my dad's side of the family, they're all, like, really big into music. Like, my youngest brother, amazing trombone player, like, won several state and national championships. My dad was, like, a champion of champions on an instrument called the cornet, which is very similar to a trumpet, but it's kind of like, well, if you saw a cornet, you would kind of think, isn't that a trumpet but a little bit smaller? But no, it's actually the same size, but if you actually, like, roll out both instruments as one singular thing, you would get with a trumpet, you would kind of have, like, a line and like little waves sort of thing. But if you roll out a cornet, you would kind of have, like, bigger ones because of how much the brass would have had to, like, bend in to be able to form the shapes of it. But then the sounds of each instrument, like a cornet would sound a bit more mellow than a trumpet kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of where, I guess, like, my music side sort of happened. But then me being a massive fan of guys like Michael Jackson and John Farnham, who are, like, the greatest live entertainers of all time, like, having those guys to, like, really look up to sort of thing. And John Cena is my favorite wrestler of all time, and the way he kind of carried himself in every single show he ever did, like, the whole never give up kind of attitude, and the way that he's always had to, like, fight from the bottom up, even if he was, like, the favorite in the match, kind of thing. But then also starting in my journey as a wrestler, starting out at the PCW Academy back in 2015, like, the facility over there has always been unbelievable. The coaches have always been awesome, and I've always been able to trust in their experience to really be able to, like, mold me into the competitor that I am.
You know, I think it's very important to have a good coach, and a coach that you can trust, and a coach that you can approach and talk to. I think that's when you really blossom as a wrestler, is when you find that right fit for you. Going back to the music, I'm very interested in that too, because I'm not a ninth generation musician, no way, but my dad plays guitar, and my two older brothers, they're both in bands. Wonderful. And they've been in bands for fucking years, right? And they're only a couple of years older than me. and they can play, one of my brothers, Jeremy, he can play drums, bass, guitar, keyboard, piano. Like, he produces his own music. Like, he's incredible. And then my other brother, he plays guitar. So what instruments can you play? Because you said you told me about your family, but what can you play?
I've always been mainly a singer. But I also grew up playing trumpet a lot, especially playing in a few different bands. Like, the biggest crowd I ever got to perform in front of pretty much anything, it was a brass band type of gig. I was playing on cornet, and that was in front of, like, over 180,000 people for a grand final parade.
Bro, holy shit!
But the other instruments I can play, obviously trumpet, because very similar to a cornet, and a flugelhorn, which is one of the most beautiful.
What is that?
It's also like it also
it sounds like a toad.
Like, it kind of does, yeah, doesn't yeah, it? Yeah. But a flugelhorn is another trumpet-like instrument, which but it sounds a lot more mellow.
Is it like deeper?
Yeah, it kind of sounds deeper.
Okay, cool.
In comparison, and there's this beautiful guitar concerto that was arranged for brass band to feature a flugelhorn, and in my opinion, my dad plays that solo like the best out of absolutely anybody. Yeah. Called Concierto de Aranjuez. And it's
is it Spanish?
Yeah, it is.
So it's like classical sort of guitar.
Yeah.
Is it on nylon strings or metal strings? Because I know sometimes the Spanish, when it's like classically done, it's like nylon strings, and I find that interesting.
Probably. Like, I'm not entirely sure about the original composition mm-hmm. of that sort of piece. I'm more familiar with the brass band arrangement.
Okay, kind of thing. Probably, yeah. That's cool though.
Yeah, I can kind of play piano a little bit, like just basic chords. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't exactly call myself a pianist, by any means. And there's a very good reason why I had to say that slowly too.
Pianist.
Yeah. But as far as my instrumentation goes, I'm a singer and a trumpet player.
That's fucking awesome. I've never met a trumpet player before. That's really cool.
I still got chops, fortunately.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. What's your vocal range?
And the bugle, of course.
The bugle. Okay. Yeah.
Again, also like a trumpet sort of thing, but it has no valves kind of thing. So like every time Anzac Day and Remembrance Day would come around, that would mainly be the instrument that would be playing, like the last post and either the reveille or the rouse.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and that is my favorite gig to do as a trumpet player, purely just to, like, that's my way of being able to give thanks to, like, the Australian Defence Force who had served and is serving the country kind of thing.
We should salute.
Absolutely.
When do we go? I don't know how long they hold it for.
Good question.
How long is too long? We should ask John Cena. Wait, bro, how long do you hold the salute for? I don't know. That's cool as fuck, man. I didn't know that about you. I didn't know that you... Well, you're pretty much classically trained. That's cool as fuck. Well, kind of.
Like, I'm more contemporary.
Yeah, okay.
I guess.
That's still cool, though. That's really cool. And with the ninth generations, do you know what all of the other generations, what instruments they played? Is it all similar instruments?
It would be kind of similar, but I definitely don't know, like... All the way back to the ninth generation. I could probably guess as far back as maybe the fifth generation when they first sailed down to Australia from like the UK.
Yeah.
When they were already regarded as like a talented musical family kind of thing. But I can definitely tell what my dad played, what my brother plays, what my granddad played, what one of my uncles played, and then. I guess if it counts, maybe my great-granddad, because I know he was a conductor, but...
That's cool.
Mm.
That's really cool. That's hefty. That's pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
Being able to conduct a band, that's definitely a whole another ballgame rather than just focusing on your own instrumental part. You got to worry about everybody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know how do I explain this? How do you know how many people your granddad conducted in one band?
I know my granddad did conduct one band, but my great granddad used to travel like all around Australia, purely just for music. Like one of the best the best brass band in Australia today, who are A grade standard, obviously.
Yeah.
My great granddad basically got them up from like a national C grade level, and then got them winning national band championships like in those grades, and he got them like all the way up to A grade. And then ever since like I started actually seeing those sort of competitions more as an adult, this band in particular had been like an absolute powerhouse. Kind of thing. Like even nowadays, they still get the highest ranked band in the country. Even though New Zealand kind of wins the Australian Nationals nowadays.
That's pretty cool. That's very interesting. I think that's really cool. Let's pull another card. Let's see what else your spirits have to say. Is your granddad still with us?
No, he left us a long time ago. I would have been a teenager at the time.
Okay, that's interesting. Oh, get out of town. No way. So another a lot of wrestlers get this card as well. And you got my card, so you got the Goanna card, and it's the card of self-preservation. So, let me explain. My mob, Wiradjuri, we are the Goanna people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our totem, and it's a very spiritual thing. We cannot harm or hurt that animal, and that's kind of like our guidance animal. Like, if we need help, we go to them. But the thing I like about it is a lot of wrestlers get this card when I give them the reading, and it's almost like two lizards wrestling, and it's like the colors again are super passionate. There's lots of reds and lots of oranges and like fiery colors because it's combat, like wrestling's fiery, it's passionate, right? But what it means is self-preservation. Is a lot of wrestlers, we get burnt out, we get injured, we just burn the candle at both ends, right? And this is just saying to you not to do that. Take breaks when you need to, rest your body when you need to, listen to your body. And that could also be with music as well, resting your voice, doing the right things you need to do, protect your voice and vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
So just really be mindful. I feel like the spirits are telling you, just be really mindful on that. And I feel like, especially because the past maybe, I don't know, maybe 12 months, I've noticed your body transform. Like, you have really put in a lot of effort and you've preserved yourself and you have changed your body. And I've noticed it. You look jacked. Like, you look really fucking good, man. So what have you done to, like, change that? Like, what have you done to change your body?
I think probably over the last, probably about a year or so.
Yeah.
I remember I would probably train a lot more at the gym than before then. Probably in comparison to what I do now, like I was the kind of guy who would try to like stick to a routine and absolutely try to make the most of it as possible. Like for example, when I first started wrestling, I would be at the wrestling academy like all the four training nights kind of thing, just trying to learn as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And even still do like martial arts training on the weekends.
Kind of thing.
And then at one point I was advised at least take two nights at the gym, even though I was already going every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of felt sort of like a bit of a routine kind of sleep. If like I try to change something, then there's a bit of a lacking in that kind of thing. So like actually letting my body have like a good proper rest from time to time. I think that might have helped like physically, but also mentally as well. Because there are times that I could sort of feel myself like maybe getting burnt out, or
yeah,
some things like might not necessarily be working the way I want it to.
Yeah.
Basically like listening to my body, try to keep like my mental game strong.
Yeah.
And then literally what keeps me going is my absolute passion for performing, my passion for wrestling, kind of thing, because like, I was literally born. I was born to perform, kind of thing. And there's,
yes.
But in that regard as well, like I could be born into it and not so much love it. No, this is the stuff that I absolutely love to do. Like it's what gets me up every morning. It's the most magical, most fun thing I could do. It's what brings like the best out of me personally. Like it's Ironically, I feel so much safer in a wrestling ring or on stage than I do like in my own house or like out in the street sort of thing, because like kind of crazy to think the idea of maybe me going through a table or getting knocked out or something like that in a wrestling setting or in a performance setting doesn't scare me as much as like talking to a stranger on the street.
Yeah. That's interesting. I get that. I would much rather wrestle someone than book an appointment for the doctor. I know I could do it. I just don't like talking to strangers. I just can't be bothered. What if they're psychos? What if they, I don't know, what if they stab me? What if they steal my lunch money?
Yeah.
How do I come back from that?
It's kind of like it's more of a fear of the unknown, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. But it's funny you say that, because you're about, like, later tonight, you're going to fight Sid Parker. And that is pretty much the definition of the fear of the unknown, because... You know, he's my partner.
Yeah.
He's my life partner. He's my tag partner. And even I don't know what to expect from him sometimes. So how do you feel going into this fight?
Something that is actually kind of a bit of a relief is that this is not the first time I've wrestled Sid. The first time I did was a few years ago. It was at PCW Ignition. And he flogged the absolute heck out of me at the time, but I also reckon, considering where I was at in my career at the time, I probably surprised myself, but by how well I fought against him. So
yeah.
So this will be
a fiery person.
This will definitely be a true test to see how much I had improved since then.
Yeah, and yeah, that is interesting. Last time you wrestled him, did you wear your pants at all?
Yes. Oh, hang on. Sorry. I thought you said wear my pants.
Did you wear your pants?
I don't think I did. Okay. I might have been more confused about the fact that he was dressed as Wake at the time.
Oh, he spiraled a little bit for a minute there. That was a moment. Yep. Did you poo your pants a little bit? Did you taste blood?
Probably. It was quite a while ago. I'm definitely sure I felt might have got a little bit concussed from getting bashed in the head with a shoe. it was a while ago, but
a shoe?
Yeah, a shoe. Like, I'm pretty sure at some point in that match, he took his shoe off and, like, beat me in the back of the head with it.
Well, lucky now he doesn't wear shoes, so at least you don't have to worry about that problem happening again. He lit his boots on fire, so...
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't had boots for
a while. Yeah, like, my memory is a bit vivid of that, but I think... I'm pretty sure that match would be on the PCW network.
Yeah?
I believe.
We'll put the network somewhere around here. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. And that was a couple years ago.
It was a few years ago now.
So we've talked a little bit about music. Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about wrestling. Tell me about theatre.
Theatre.
Because you're the triple threat. You can do everything. You can sing, you can dance, and I've seen you dance, and you're a fucking great dancer. And I've seen you sing. We went to karaoke the other night, mm-hmm. and you killed it. So tell me about your theatre.
What if life were more like theatre? Yeah, theatre was kind of something that I sort of...
Sorry.
Oh, did he...
I just bumped her. It's okay.
Oh, no.
She's all right.
Theatre was kind of something that I sort of discovered as a kid. I'm pretty sure I might have been bullied at school or something like that, and the theatre might have just been like a bit of an escape kind of thing.
Yeah.
And but I also remember getting into acting because I am a massive James Bond fan.
Yeah.
It's
the titties, isn't it?
No, it was the.
That's why my dad liked James Bond. Why do you like James Bond?
I mean, his or the Bond girls?
No, the Bond girls specifically, the ladies.
I think I remember getting into acting when someone in my family kind of caught me running around the house with like a toy laser gun in a tux, while I had like a VHS video of like the world is not enough playing at the time, and he might have, I think he cracked a joke saying, oh, you should become an actor and maybe you'll be the next James Bond.
Wait, how does he do it?
It's a shame I'm sitting down on this one because I really love like the gun barrel.
Stand up.
I really love like the gun barrel sequence where he just walks in and then pow.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Off camera. It's like so iconic.
Come this way, brother.
Oh, this way.
Yeah. Fantastic work. So yeah, so James Bond is what got you hooked on your acting little drug, you reckon?
Essentially, yes. Like, it's like, yeah, back to the foundation thing. There's always like something that just kind of like draws you in,
mm-hmm.
and like kind of gives you like a bit of a taste.
Yeah.
Like eating your favorite lolly for the first time or something like that. It's like once you have a taste, you like really enjoy it and you just want more and more.
It's just like crack. Yeah.
or like cake. Surely everybody loves cake.
Yeah, I make a mean cake, I'm not gonna lie.
You make a mean cake?
Yeah, I make a mean fucking cheesecake. It slaps hard. And I make a real fucking good, so they're called fairy cupcakes.
Yeah.
And they're like just like little like vanilla like cupcakes, but you cut a hole in the middle and you put cream in there and jam in there. And then you put the fairy wings back on. Goes hard, man. Goes hard in our household. It's good. The cult members love it. They like the fairy cupcakes.
I had a cupcake with like a little chocolate Batman symbol for my birthday this year. Like,
oh, cute.
Like I got to have the most childish birthday this year, and it was awesome.
That's cute. I like that. Mayhem's having a look. What's your favorite? Like, have you been in any musicals yourself? Like, have you performed in them?
Yeah. Ooh, my favorite musical that I've been in. That's a tough one. I've done Rent twice. I've done Jesus Christ Superstar once.
Oh yay! Jesus Christ Superstar.
The first time I went overseas, we. No, we didn't. We did Sweeney Todd earlier in the year, but then like my first trip overseas, it was a drama tour. We actually went to a barbershop in Fleet Street and we all basically broke out into like the Ballad of Sweeney Todd, and it was sick.
That's pretty cool. I've been to one musical,
mm-hmm.
and I've been in one musical.
Ooh.
But I don't watch musicals. I know that doesn't make any sense. In year three, I was asked to be the lead role in Mother Goose or some shit. I think my dad has the tape somewhere. And my dress was made out of plastic bags. It was ghetto as fuck. It was amazing. And I had to sing and dance and everything. And then I never watched a musical after that until I went overseas to New York with Sid and his fair. Oh, bro, New York is my favorite place.
The theater scene over there is absolutely amazing.
It's amazing. I went to one in New York, and we went to Bat Out of Hell. The
Meatloaf musical.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be cool.
Yeah, it was. It was like I didn't really know what to expect because I haven't really watched many musicals or anything. But it fucking slapped. It was sick.
In my opinion, she should do that more often.
No, yeah, it was fucking awesome. I was blown away. It was so much fun. And everyone had a great time. Like, and it's something we all remember as just a really fucking fun night.
Yeah, I almost think maybe sometimes like the last musical I saw might have been my favorite show, but...
Yeah. What was it?
I think the last one I watched was... It was either Chicago or, excuse me, it was either Chicago or Sweeney Todd.
That's cool. I know Chicago, actually. I have seen that. I've seen the movie.
Chicago kicks ass!
Chicago kicks ass! Oh, fuck. Have you seen Little Nicky? Yeah! Popeye's chicken is fucking awesome.
Popeye's chicken is fucking awesome.
Same America trip. Sid and I, we were at the airport. We were going from Texas to New York. And we were waiting at the airport for our flight, and we walked past a Popeyes, and we both just looked at each other, and we're like, fuck it, let's get some Popeyes before we get on the plane.
I got hit by this big light. I was attached to a lot of metal. That's a train, son. That movie is iconic.
Yeah, bro, that's a fucking great movie. And he's right, man. Like, Popeyes. Sometimes when I'm at home and I'm eating Dirty Bird, I pretend that it's Popeyes because it was so fucking good.
I don't remember if I've had Popeyes, but I've definitely had Chick-fil-A, and I kind of did the same thing.
I didn't have that, but it was, what was good about Chick-fil-A? People put it over.
It's kind of like another KFC in a way.
Okay, so it's another chicken place.
Yeah. Fried? Yes.
Ooh, all right. Look, I'm down with fried chicken. All about that. I'll try it all.
I like IHOP, which
IHOP is so good.
Yeah, IHOP was really good.
Wendy's was pretty good.
Did we get Wendy's?
I did try KFC in America, and
what was it?
I like the burgers in both Australia and America the same. They've definitely got like more variety on their menu because they've also got like tacos and stuff on there for some weird reason. But in my opinion, our chips are better because the seasoning they have on their chips is kind of the same as they do in most other places.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Ours is unique.
Yeah. You know what I learned recently?
Mm-hmm.
Chicken salt is an Australian thing. I did not know that.
I was. They call it something else. Else.
What do they call it?
MSG.
So it is a thing.
We call it chicken salt. We'll do it on everything.
Chicken salt?
Every time I hear MSG, I always think either Madison Square Garden or the Madison Square Garden in St. Louis where I won my first championship.
Hey, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, Champ Champ.
Yeah, so,
show us your pretty belt. And, oh, bro, that. The jacket, it's so distracting because it's so fucking pretty, man. It's just stunning. You've got lights and glitter, and look at this fancy as fuck belt. It's got chains and shit. Congratulations.
Thank you. Genuinely like the two most...
Shake my hand like that.
Thank you. No, the triple lace championship. that's so good. Generally, like the two biggest highlights of my career, in my opinion, and there's been like quite a few, were winning the Fighting for Autism United States Championship on my international debut in one of my favorite countries ever to visit, America, of course. And the other one was after like a massive 7-year journey through all the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, finally winning the PCW Slam Championship at PCW Slam 300. So to be able to do that on like such a monumental show, that I've had quite a long and consistent journey in.
Yeah.
To finally get that championship over my shoulder was. It was kind of like a full circle sort of moment, a bit of like weight off my shoulders kind of thing. Both those championship wins are like the most special in their own way. And with this one as well, like I am a ambassador for the Fighting for Autism organization, which was how I ended up getting invited to do this show 4 years ago now.
Incredible, man.
Yeah, and what was really cool about it was that... WWE Hall of Famer and tag team legend, the Road Warrior Animal.
Yeah.
He was hosting the event, so I ended
Wait.
Up, yeah.
You met him.
he was the host of the event, and they also had they also had Buff Bagwell on the card as well as Glacier.
Glacier?
Yeah,
Glacier,
absolute legend. You got nothing but love for that guy. He was so cool.
That's fucking rad, man. That's honestly, that's fucking awesome. Congratulations. That's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And how long have you been champ for?
Wow. 4 years.
Who did you defeat?
Yeah.
I defeated...
Can we show the video? You've got some video. We can just show some clips.
Yeah, I do somewhere.
They're playing
right
now.
Right here. And the guy I beat for the championship is a fantastic wrestler by the name of Lights Out Adrian Surge. He was the inaugural Fighting for Autism United States champion, and at the time he was also the Dynamo Pro heavyweight champion. So like I was going up against the face of the company, this is a guy from like the other side of the world going into enemy territory against essentially their top guy, and I get to bring this championship home to Australia.
That's awesome, man. Did you have any issues smuggling it back?
No.
Oh, good.
None whatsoever. Because like.
Red carpet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, baby.
Oh, I wish I had the red carpet. Well, I definitely had a red carpet treatment when I got back home. But yeah. But when it's all said and done, it's a championship belt. Like, why would there be any trouble, you know, bringing it back in?
Some people are weird.
Some people.
Maybe I just have issues with the plain people.
Nah, some people are just weird, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, I think, honestly, because you are such a passionate person with such a strong foundation, I feel like it doesn't really matter in what part of the world you are, you're going to flourish. I think that's just the sort of person you are. You're incredibly resilient. You're like a piece of grass. No matter how many times you cut it, it just fucking grows back. And I think that's a really special quality to have. And I think you should never lose that. But in saying that, you've wrestled overseas, you're a champion, and you're a long reigning champion, but you got to wrestle Sid Parker.
I got to wrestle Sid, and it's definitely a tough test because that's the thing though, like I enjoy the tough tests as a performer, especially going up against people that are more people that are like more experienced performers, which mm-hmm. is cuz like going more established kind of thing, because testing my waters against those guys, they make me a better competitor kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because like, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's literally how I've always grown as a performer, by testing myself against more experienced guys, tougher guys, people who are able to just like make me stronger in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's literally one of the reasons why I'm still a champion now, mm-hmm. and how I ended up managing to win the PCW Slam Championship finally.
That's awesome. Who did you beat for the Slam Champ?
Jarvis.
Cool. Yeah, you know Jarvis. Yeah, cool. That would have been difficult.
It was as far as like Australian wrestling and definitely PCW. That was the best match of my career for so many reasons. It was like my entire journey finally culminating to win that championship. That was like a massive goal that I've had for quite some time, and also just to be able to memorialize some really special people that like helped me mm-hmm. get to that point, and had also like lifted me up throughout the entire journey. The fans as well, but still like a few people like really close to me that helped me get up there.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. I'm gonna pull you another card, but I feel like we'll do a quick shuffle.
Why don't you have a thumb war?
Every day we shuffle.
Do you want to have a thumb war?
Do you want to have a thumb war?
I'm fucking down for
that. Are you challenging?
We just need a referee. We just need an authority figure, because I don't trust you. I'm going to be honest. As much as I like you as a human being, I think you're shifty.
I'm shifty? You think I'm shifty?
Yes. I think you're a bit shifty. I feel like you might, I don't know.
Says the one who does magic tricks.
They're not tricks. It's real life, buddy. It's a way of life. It's just, oh, here we go. He's the authority.
Yeah, there's a thumb war happening?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm going to take my ring off. So it's even.
So many rings.
All right, you got to put your elbow on the table.
Okay, now I actually got to move around.
Yeah, get comfortable. In. Get comfortable. Shit's about to go down. All right, elbow on the table.
Hold down for three. Give them the rules, Sammy.
Got to hold them down for three.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it clean. Keep it
You're
safe.
You're fucked, bro.
10 minute time.
You're fucked. Don't hold me back. Don't hold me back.
Let me at him. Let me at him.
I'm too scared to move. All right. What if I like bait you in? Oh, no. It's not supposed to lift the elbow, right?
Yeah.
Hey. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, Colt wins. Woo!
Very what? He's got a count.
Hang on. So what does it mean if it's a yellow and a red card?
Well, it's just a yellow.
We'll start with the yellow. It's then we'll work up to a red.
Yeah, that's the first warning. Then the second warning is red card.
And you say I'm shifty.
Hey, I don't trust you, man.
Philip on extermination got disqualified for an illegal finger run. We're fucking on the rules here.
I'm so G'd up right now. All right, let's go.
1, 2.
Or the elbow was up.
Yeah, my elbow was up. That's fair.
It's so hard to like.
1, 2, 3.
Hey!
Champion.
Bro.
I am the champion, my friend.
You like Queen?
I love Queen.
Yeah, Queen are pretty awesome. I like Queen too. What's your favorite Queen song?
Oh, that is a really tough one, but probably Radio Gaga at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Are you the sort of person that, like, your favourite song changes depending on where you are in life?
Yeah, kind of, because I've also got, like, really good memories with the song We Will Rock You in particular.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially around Halloween time. Like I absolutely love Halloween horror shows.
Yes, you do. Yes. Tell me about them. Yep.
Around the end of October, PCW have a annual spectacular called Halloween Horror. And the really cool thing about it is like everybody gets to dress up, not just us wrestlers, but nice.
Thank you.
But it's also like, also the referees can also dress up, the fans can dress up, even the canteen and the production people, they can dress up if they want to as well. Like it is one of the most fun events of the year. And purely because it's like such a massive thing, such a fun thing, I always got to do something spectacular. So the very first year I did this, I went back to one of my biggest heroes, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, of course.
I remember that, yes.
And I did Thriller.
I remember. Sorry, she's just putting her tail in my mouth. she's my singer, like. Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I'm Gillian Hall.
It's almost like the headset mic.
Yeah.
And the tail is the microphone.
Yeah. She's funny. What are you gonna guys this year? Or is it a surprise?
I guess.
Can I have a clue?
No. I'm one of those performers where I'm kind of like. I go by the thespian rule, do not spoil any illusions or the magic rule. A magician never reveals their secrets.
I agree.
Yeah, but the only way to find out would be to show up at PCW Halloween Horror to find out. And generally, it is one of the most fun events of the year. Like
it is.
Yeah, so far, I've done a couple of Michael Jackson ones. Like the second mm-hmm. one, I wasn't too fond of. Like I did Smooth Criminal and The Lean didn't go as well for me, unfortunately.
It's okay.
But then I came back with We Will Rock You. I absolutely rocked it out as Freddie Mercury. What else have I done? I've done The Greatest Showman. I did Grease Lightning last year as a wonderful tribute to Olivia Newton-John, mm-hmm. who had just passed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, who knows what's up in store this year?
Mm. I have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think happens to you when you die? Where do you think you go?
Ooh, that is a very deep question.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Part of me thinks heaven and hell kind of thing, but mm-hmm. but I also reckon I kind of have a lot of serendipitous moments sometimes. Like I could be shopping somewhere or just like driving somewhere, and I could be like having a really bad day or something like that, could be something like work or something like that, and just all of a sudden like a Michael Jackson song might come on,
mm-hmm.
maybe, or even a John Farnham one. He's still alive, by the way, and massive kudos to that guy for like kicking the absolute crap out of cancer too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty rad.
So I'm hoping he returns to the stage again.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Because it's Fonzie. He's the greatest.
You're the voice, can't understand it.
That's the one. But then there's also some like some other little things that go on there as well. Like for example, when I won the slam championship, it was actually just the day after an anniversary of like someone really close to me, they passed on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a tremendously challenging journey outside the ring, to sort of like deal with in the lead up.
Definitely.
But I kind of felt like going back to the higher power, I reckon they sort of put all the puzzle pieces in place for that thing to sort of happen, because at that time, like, I was in a string of like constantly main eventing slam, but didn't exactly have the I didn't get the upper hand. Like somebody else was the number one contender,
mm-hmm.
For the slam championship going into the show, and then I ended up fighting my way into the contendership purely just by accident, because it was like, yeah, I finally got the win on somebody who had been somehow ending up with a upper hand at the time, but then I ended up winning when it mattered most, and then that basically just led up to Slam 300, the main event, close to the anniversary of that occasion, and then finally walking away with the gold. It's just everything coming together.
Yeah, someone you felt like someone had you back on that day, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the first time I was actually able to grieve about it too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like as soon as the bell rung, like I just screamed.
Yeah. It was therapeutic.
Very. Absolutely. It was, even thinking back on it now, it was so much of like an out of body experience. And then I was just bawling my eyes out in the center of the ring, not even fully realizing like what had just happened kind of thing.
Yeah. There's something real therapeutic about when you go through something shit, just beating the absolute piss out of someone. Like, it's just makes your heart warm, you know what I mean? Like, just absolutely ruining someone. Just curb stomping them, just punching them straight in the face. Like, it's just therapeutic. It's just...
Same with performing too. It's like, beautiful. Yeah, same with performing too. Like I've always found it tremendously therapeutic to be out there in front of a crowd, or just expressing myself in some sort of performance setting, and just like connecting with other people, and the fact that they also like get to be on the journey, with me kind of thing. I get to do something like really cool for them, like making memories, kind of thing. And yeah, it's like, I get to do something cool in front of you guys, and it just like it warms my heart knowing that they've at least enjoyed what I've done.
That's fucking awesome.
And all that jazz.
What's your favorite like performance art? If you had to choose one for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
That is an evil question.
Why? Yeah, I know.
Why would you ask such a thing?
Okay. Answer that question. Answer that one.
I guess I would have to stick to my family roots and go with music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because a big reason why I even got into music and even got into performing in general was very, very much to, like, follow in the family footsteps, but do it in my own way.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's another reason why I like other forms of art so much. Because there's like so many different there's so many different things that you can actually do to kind of like paint the same picture or express a particular message that words can't.
Yes, I totally agree. I feel like that's, for me, that's like painting. I like to paint paintings like that for me. Just, it's like color is another language to me. And I feel like that's why I'm so attracted to such bold, different colors and all of the colors, because it's like, to me, it's another language. To me, it's another way to communicate how I feel about something to someone else. Mm. And I think it's important to have multiple ways to communicate your actual inner feelings.
Something I actually discovered purely through wrestling, but it definitely works with like theater as well. I got to dance with one of my heroes on like a Halloween show, and then again at this year's Ballroom Brawl at MCW.
That's fucking rad. What dance was it? Dance with?
I also did Thriller, but it was like just the chorus dance sort of thing, because it wasn't the start of the Rumble. It was like it was part of the way in.
Mm-hmm. Who was the surprisingly biggest mark for your Thriller dance?
Ooh, that's an impossible question, just because there's so many. Just listening to the response from a crowd that I had like never performed in front of before, like nobody at MCW had seen me before, purely because it's very rare that I ever got to branch out. Like I've done been able to go to Riot City Wrestling for like New Year's Eve out in Mount Gambier one year.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Spectrum Slam show with Dynamo Pro up in St. Louis.
That's cool.
Wrestled in San Diego earlier this year, which was so much fun on like a pier at this like beer and taco festival. It was awesome as. And then MCW earlier this year in such a beautiful theater as well. Like the Thornbury Theater had been such a goal for me since before I started wrestling.
It's fucking stunning.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. So being able to tick that that venue box was that was beautiful. And then of course, like every time I get to come into Seek, regardless of whether it's like Slam or Ignition or one of the main event shows, like those crowds are so much fun to perform in front of. And again, going back to Foundation, it's always like a homecoming.
Yeah, no, I get that. I feel the same about the PCW mob. They're fucking awesome. The crowds are killer.
Yeah.
They're a great group of people.
Kind of funny how we talked about like how I'm scared to about, you know, the fear of the unknown kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas with things that I'm very familiar with, like performing or wrestling, I'm a lot more comfortable with stepping into the unknown. Like a promotion I've never wrestled before, a show I've never performed on before. Doing a card reading on the near-death experience, because there's very familiar elements to it that kind of ease my way into it.
Yeah. Well, after you have your near-death experience, you're going to have to come back and let me know what it was like to die, because I think we're ready now for you to fight the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker. Bro, you're gonna die. This is gonna be great. But like, it's like, just let me know what it's like. Like, do you see God, or do you see Buddha? Do you see?
Do I see Michael Jackson? Do I see all my family? Do I see Elvis?
Bro, if you see like Elvis, can you let me know that he's like what he's doing? I'd like to know.
That would be really cool.
Goodbye to that beautiful jacket. Good dance.
Yeah, massive thanks to Kim Killer, who is well known for doing Chris Jericho's jacket for that one.
Stunning.
It's so pretty.
It is. Just like you.
I try.
Now you're about to die. Wow. You have such nice pretty teeth. They're not going to be very pretty for much longer. Come, brother. come.
Got to go this way.
Thanks for coming. It was nice knowing you.
No! Pile of shit.